here at this time. So does anybody have a testimony you'd like to share tonight? Any answers to prayer or blessings you'd like to share? Prayer requests? Anything tonight? Any testimonies? Beautiful day outside. Thank the Lord for the warmer weather. And it's just an encouragement to see the sunshine and to see the forecast. It's supposed to be in the 60s all this week. So I praise the Lord for that. So anybody else tonight? Samuel, it's good to have Samuel here tonight.
Something that the Lord pressed on my heart this morning, reading out of the Psalm, or out of the Proverbs. I read out of Psalms and Proverbs this morning, but I read out of Psalm, or Proverbs 22, or 21, verses 1 and 2, and it says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart." And that just, I know those verses well, but I think of them often in many different cases where I think that somebody can't be persuaded of, you know, otherwise, but then I think, you know, their heart is in the hand of the Lord, just as Pharaoh's was. The thoughts that I wrote down from those this morning, I said, these verses are always a great reminder to me that no matter how stubborn and willful someone may be, his heart is in the hand of the Lord, just as Pharaoh's was in the hand of the Lord. Then secondly, we have our perspectives and our situations, and we think our perspectives are always right. But we need to remember that the Lord ponders and knows the heart, not us. We must admit the fact that He knows all, He understands all, and we don't. He doesn't require that we do know or understand everything, or know why He is doing something in our lives or in someone else's lives that we don't understand His reasoning for. He simply asks that we trust in Him with all of our hearts and obey His bidding. And so that was just a good reminder to me that God is in control, that there's a way that seems right to a man and his own eyes, but in the end, it's the Lord who ponders the heart and knows the motives behind those plans and those thoughts and intents. And it's just a good reminder to me and a good challenge to my heart to trust in Him and just to obey His will, sometimes whether I understand it or not.
Amen. Thank you very much. All right. Anyone else tonight? Let's see. Pastor Gossman was about to stand there.
I thank the Lord continually for His word. Reading in Galatians where Paul said, "I certify, brethren, the gospel which was preached to me is not after man." And what a blessing it is that we have God's word. Here in that context, that Paul is talking about that which the Lord revealed to him personally. We know that by the Holy Spirit, God has given us His word from the Old Testament throughout the New. In a day when you can't believe and you question about everything you hear, what a blessing it is to have God's word.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Anyone else tonight? Anybody else? I do want to say it's a blessing to have the Finnerans with us, Samuel and Tabitha. And, of course, as you know, we've been praying for them in a special way here lately. As we've talked about them as elders here, we're asking the church to pray about whether or not the Lord would have them come back here. 2 years ago, we let them slip away. Of course, the Lord was leading them to South Carolina to work with the church. And it may be that they're wanting to make a transition And so we're praying about whether they would be able to come back here to serve. And last night our elders met with Samuel and Tabitha just to talk a little bit more about that. And so we had a good time together. We're praying about it. We'd just ask you to continue to pray about that. At this point, we don't have anything definite to recommend to our church to vote on, which is what would have to happen next. But we're talking about that still and praying about it. So it was nice that Samuel and Tabitha and their family could be up here. We kind of found out about that. They had already made plans to be up here for a visit, and so we were able to meet with them, which is always nice to just to be able to meet in person with somebody. So we're happy to have them here tonight, and Samuel's kind of doing a lot of different duties today. And tonight he's playing the piano, and he's also going to be preaching tonight. And so glad that he's able to do that. And just a special blessing to have him. And, of course, Samuel spent many years in this church growing up here. When he was a young boy, he first came here and was in this church for many years. And so, and then Tabitha, when she moved here with Nathan and Nikki, and she was, I think, an older teen when she first came here to this church. So we go back a little ways with both of them. And of course, they've been in South Carolina serving at a church in Spartanburg, and Trinity Baptist Church there. And they've been there about 2 years. So we're just happy that they can be back with us visiting here tonight. So any other testimonies? Anything else you'd like to mention here tonight? I did want to give an update on our missionaries here. The Matias have a letter there in the bulletin. Just read that. This is spring 2021 from the Matias in Germany. Dear praying friends, we are so thankful that we continue to be able to have church services with some requirements such as wearing masks, no congregational singing, etc. The Lord has blessed our church during these months of strange restrictions. Every Sunday, four or five families and small groups bring special music from the front, which is allowed. We also have Sunday school, classes, and prayer meeting with social distancing. And in fact, more people than ever have been coming to our Wednesday night service. D and S, two young adults in our church, both eager witnesses for Christ, had a beautiful Christ-honoring winter wedding at the beginning of February. They have a great burden for their unsaved friends and family. So their wedding was very gospel-centered. Several of these contacts also attended their evangelistic home Bible study. Sometime before the wedding, we used our camp tractor to pull a car out of the ditch on a snowy road near camp. The folks in the car were so thankful, tried to pay us for our trouble. We refused payment, but gave them a calendar with evangelistic verses on each month and a gospel tract on the back. We had no idea who they were, but were thankful for the opportunity to share the gospel. After D and S's short honeymoon, the day S went back to work, she saw the calendar hung up in the office where she works. The people we pulled out of the ditch were her boss and his wife. S was so happy to see the thankfulness and openness to the gospel through this God-ordained incident. In the ministry here at Camp Impact, some of our activities have been restricted. We were not able to have our winter camp in Switzerland, but we are permitted to have workers come. It is such a blessing to see the Lord burden believers to invest their time and talents in tangible, practical ways. R, who does much of our electrical work, regularly drives an hour and a half to work here at camp. Recently, some German believers gave special gifts specifically to replace our aged and unreliable front-end loader, our workhorse. In January, we mounted a weatherproof track rack on the sign at the entrance. Many people walk and hike around the area and are curious about what we are doing here. A few days after we put the tracks out, we saw a man sitting and reading a tract very intently on a pile of logs down the path a bit from camp. We are happy that we have to restock the tract rack regularly. Pray with us for this new tract ministry to reach many hikers with the gospel, even though we cannot talk with many of them. I had arthroscopic surgery on my ankle a couple of weeks ago. I'm still waiting to see if it helped. During the downtime, it's been refreshing to be able to spend more time reading, studying, preparing messages, as well as making plans for upcoming camps and the development of the camp property. Thank you for your prayers. The Lord's work is not hindered by a virus, but some ministries are more challenging or take on new aspects. Several work crews are lined up for the next months. We're making plans for spring and summer camps. We trust God will lead us each step of the way as we seek to share the gospel with the lost and also have an impact on many believers. Serving him in Germany, Kevin, for the Matias. All right, well, let's take our hymnals now and we'll sing another hymn. Number 149, When We See Christ. Number 149. And let's all stand as we sing. We'll have Samuel Finner and come minister God's word.
Good evening. It's always a privilege to preach the Word of God, even though I feel unworthy every time I step behind a pulpit. But I am thankful for the opportunity that Pastor has given me here. And I'm going to preach on a topic that isn't necessarily easy listening, but it's a message that I believe that God has laid on my heart and one that I would like to preach. And certainly by no means is it something that I have perfected in any way, shape, or form, but something that I am working on and developing. It's funny how God works in the hearts and lives of those working together in the ministry, even before we even realize it. And the hymns that Pastor picked out for tonight closely aligned with what I was preaching on, and he didn't even know what I was preaching on. But I'm preaching on the topic of, or the title of my message is called, Has Your Christianity Become Too Comfortable? And we sang a song tonight, hymn number 308, and I'd just like to read the lyrics to that. As we sang that tonight, I trust and I hope that that's the desire and truly the intent of each of our hearts in our Christian lives. It says, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still, I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me onto higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And I trust that as we sing this, that it's not just a monotony, it's not just a familiar hymn that we know, but it's one that we sing from our hearts. It's one that is a prayer from our hearts for growth, for dissatisfaction with the status quo, but genuinely wanting to grow in our walk with the Lord and grow in our faith in Christ Jesus. I'm going to be preaching the main text out of my sermon today is in Mark chapter 8, if you want to turn there. I'll be referencing several scriptures tonight, but this is where my message is founded out of. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. It says, And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity that I have to preach, and God, I believe that you have laid this topic on my heart as we are being in the face of potentially more persecution and pressure as Christians in this world than we've ever experienced in America. We want to be sure, Father, that our hearts are in the right place, that we are truly pursuing after you, that we aren't comfortable in our Christianity, that we haven't fallen into a lax, unconcerned Christianity, but in a hot pursuit, an on fire Christianity that is passionate about our faith and passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that we recognize that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and that we would be proud to proclaim the gospel to others, proud for what He's done in our lives. And I just ask God that You would work in each of our hearts and in our lives as You see the need specifically, and that You would apply the truths from Your Word tonight accordingly as You see them. We love You, God, and look forward to what You'll do tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The purpose of my message tonight is that every Christian would examine his own life deeply today and ask himself the soul-searching question, have I allowed my Christianity to become too comfortable? I would like to suggest, according to this passage that I just read, that our Christian faith should be anything but comfortable. The Bible tells us that to be a true disciple of Christ, one must deny himself, to take up their cross, to be subject to persecution, to be willing to give up all material possessions, and to be crucified with Christ. And that's just the beginning. And oftentimes when we first get saved, that isn't we aren't thinking of all of those things. And oftentimes we aren't even told all of those things when we're led to Christ. I know when I first became a Christian, my main motivation was not going to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted to be in heaven with God. I knew that I deserved hell, and I knew that I didn't want to be in hell. I didn't necessarily understand everything that there was to know about salvation and the Christian life. But I wouldn't have it any other way. However, I believe that the modern day Christian all too often has a different view of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a disciple of Christ. In today's society, especially so in America, we seek after things that are comfortable, a convenient lifestyle that caters to our likes and our dislikes. And among those things, we can tend to conform our Christianity to that same mold without even realizing it. So how do I know if I've allowed my Christianity to become too comfortable? Well, I have a list of 7 points. How long do I have, Pastor? No, I won't keep you long, I promise. But there's 7 signs, and it's not limited to 7 by any means, but these are 7 signs that I've found to be signs that your Christianity might be too comfortable. What I said earlier, that we can tend to mold our Christianity to that same convenient, comfortable lifestyle that we desire without even realizing it. It comes to mind when we boil something alive, like a frog or anything that you might want to eat that's alive, and maybe you don't. But take a frog, for instance. If you want to boil a frog alive, if you put it in boiling hot water, it's going to jump out immediately. But if you put it in cool water, it's going to stay in there. And then as the temperature rises, it will get used to the status quo. It will get used, its body will adjust to the temperature. And I think of that as an example sometimes when I think of how we can be as Christians sometimes. That we can get used to the lifestyle around us, to the world around us, and adapt our Christianity to the world around us rather than being conformed to Christ, denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Him. Number one, sign that your Christianity may be too comfortable. There's absolutely no conflictions between your Christianity and your political party. Whether you're a diehard Republican, Isaac, or whether, believe it or not, there could be a diehard, lifelong Democrat that's a Christian. If you have never experienced any friction with your Christian faith, then your faith is probably too comfortable. There are various aspects and points in politics of any party that should reveal disharmony with biblical Christianity. A faith that would align flawlessly with one political party, I would suggest, is suspiciously convenient and lacks biblical support. So what are you saying is, what are opposing things that a political party might have with biblical Christianity? Just to list a couple of things. Abortion. Exodus 20:13 specifically says, thou shalt not kill. And there are there are people on both political parties that would stand with abortion and pro-choice. But God has a different perspective on that. And I'm not saying that you should not be a Republican, not be a Democrat, because they, you know, there's some people that align with that. But I'm saying that there's things in each political party that should bring disharmony, that should cause friction between their what they stand for, what they believe in, and what we believe in as Christians. Another thing is homosexuality or sexual sins. Leviticus 8 speaks specifically about that, as well as Romans 1:24-27. And then something that we might not necessarily even recognize is found in Proverbs 22:16. Proverbs 22:16, I'm going to read that. It says, "He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want." Let me read that again. "He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want." How often do we see that in the way that we're governed? To take from the poor, to make themselves rich. And yet, where is our country? Trillions of dollars in debt. Because that has been the focus and what they do. Taxes. And whether we're poor or rich or in between. If your affiliation with your political party has never caused friction in your heart with your biblical Christianity, then there's a problem. I would also like to suggest that, number two, if there's no inconclusive questions or controversial passages of Scripture that spark studying and resolve in your heart, if you've never taken the time to meditate on or wrestle with the tough matters of the Bible, such as the Holy Trinity or the Incarnation or the Holy Spirit's presence and empowerment or the book of Revelation, then your faith just might be too comfortable. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." God wants to see a student in you. He wants to see somebody that's studious and intentional about His Word, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Not somebody that passes over the hard stuff. Not somebody that passes over the things that he doesn't understand, but somebody that wants to study that out. Is that you? I know that sometimes in the past that I've skipped over things that I didn't necessarily understand or moved on. I've not taken the time to actually ponder that. And I've tried to correct that by when I'm doing my devotions, if maybe I don't have the time to study that out right now, I have a place on my phone in my notes and I make a note. What is this talking about? Find out the answer to this. Or what aspect about this verse means this? And I make a note of that. And then when I get time, I'll come back to that and study that out. God wants to see somebody that is studious and that sees discerning God's word and rightly dividing God's the truth of God's word as important, and not just being passive about that. A strong, uncomfortable faith constantly convicts you, prods you, and challenges you. It's a faith that leaves you relentlessly wanting to know more, never satisfied that you've known everything that God has for you to learn in His Word. It's a faith that fills you with a longing after everything, or after God's Word, like the psalmist David in Psalm 63:1, when he says, "O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." That's the kind of heart that God wants to see, a heart that is pursuing after God's Word, a heart that wants to know the truth of God's Word, wants to discern and rightly divide the Word of truth. And I'll come back to that verse and repeat that verse throughout and other points. But thirdly, your Christianity might be too comfortable if your friends and your coworkers are surprised to learn that you're a churchgoer. A definite sign that your Christianity is too comfortable is if nothing in your life sets you apart as a disciple of Christ. to the extent even that those close to you can't tell that you're anything more than just a good person. And there's a lot of those in the world. A comfortable Christian is one who easily blends in with his surroundings, looking for and acting and talking just like his or her lost co-workers or friends or neighbors. John 13:35 says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one towards another." That's one way that we can show and demonstrate our Christianity, is by showing love towards one another as Christians. And how many churches do we have that have split, that have parted ways because there's disharmony and unwillingness to forgive and to love? Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or are you bold in your witness for Christ? If you're bold in your witness for Christ, there will never be a doubt, a question mark as to whether you're just a good person or you're an actual follower of Christ. And following Romans 1:16, I'd like to read Mark 8:38, which says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." It's important to be bold in our witness for Christ, not to be ashamed, not to be passive. Fourth, you're a hearer of the word, but not a doer. Turn to James 1, chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 22 through 24. And I want you to read this along with me as I read aloud. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." If Sunday sermons or Wednesday evening devotionals or even your daily devotionals stir you in the moment, but then are forgotten as soon as you leave church or during the week, the next day, Monday, your Christianity is likely too comfortable. Biblical preaching shouldn't leave us apathetic or unchallenged, and yet all too often I'm afraid that is our response. We come to hear God's Word preached. We may be stirred by it, convicted by it, say a prayer, and then forget what manner of man we were. We forget what we even saw in God's Word, that reflection of ourselves, that reflection of the areas in our lives that needed to change. We may be stirred and convicted about that in the moment, but then fail to make that a matter of change in our hearts and in our lives. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Hebrews 4:12 says. Number five, you haven't witnessed to anyone or given somebody a gospel tract within the last couple of weeks. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and unto the uttermost parts of the world." And then God's great commission to us in Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We are given a great commission here to spread the gospel, to see other souls saved. If a door-to-door evangelization or witnessing the gospel to someone is too difficult for you or isn't something that you have time for, then your Christianity surely is too comfortable. You might say, but I'm not good with wording things. I'm not good with knowing what to say. Well, Moses tried that one too. And you know what God said? He said, "Who's made man's mouth? Have not I the Lord?" And then he said, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what you shall say." But what if they ask me something that I don't know the answer to, and then I might be embarrassed, and I might embarrass the name of the Lord? What did I read earlier? 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If you're faithful to that verse, God will give you the answers that you need. I don't always remember or know everything that I'm going to say, but sometimes if I'm faithful to witness to somebody, if I'm faithful to go out knocking on doors, even when I don't want to, even when I don't feel like it, if I'm faithful to leave that track on the table at a restaurant or in a phone booth or wherever I am, or to hand it to somebody that the Lord impresses upon my heart, if I'm faithful, He pops those verses into my mind. He helps me to remember those things. He goes with me. He is my mouthpiece. When I recognize that I can't, that He can. Spreading the gospel message is a direct command from God. It isn't an option. And sometimes I think we treat it like an option, but it's not. It's a direct command as Christians that we are to obey. So it's time that we stop treating it as such and take Christ's great commission to present the gospel to every creature seriously. Number 6, you consciously or subconsciously stay away from certain parts of the scripture because you don't agree with what it says or you don't understand it. If you avoid certain areas of the scripture because you don't agree with it or you don't understand it or you don't like it, how it makes you feel about certain areas in your life, your Christianity is too comfortable. God's word was given to us, as we read in Mark 8:38. It was given to us to change us, to conform us, and to mold us into His image. If the mirror of Scripture shows dirt on your face, you need to get rid of that dirt, not simply walk away willfully forgetting about the dirt that you saw reflected from God's word. If you avoid certain parts of the Bible because you have a hard time understanding them, your Christianity is too comfortable. I'll repeat again, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do we get the word of God? How do we get the word of God? Holy men of God spake. How? As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When we're saved, what happens? We are given the down payment, the earnest of our salvation, of our inheritance of eternal life in the Holy Spirit. Each of us are given the Holy Spirit as the down payment of our salvation. So we have the same Holy Spirit in us that guided the same men that penned the words of Scripture. So do you think that there's anything that you can't understand if you tap into that source? Just like the lights that are on in this church, I think that we treat the Holy Spirit sometimes the same way. We have that power within us of the Holy Spirit, just like we have the power, the capability to turn on the lights in this building. But if we don't flip on the light switch, is there going to be any light? No. If you tap into that source, if you tap into that power that you have within you of the Holy Spirit, then there's great things that you can do for the Lord that otherwise you might not be able to. There's nothing in God's Word that you can't understand, that you can't rightly divide the Word of truth if you tap into that power. Number 7. No one in your church could comment much on any area of growth or fruit that they've seen produced in your life recently. You know, there's the initial salvation that we have, the initial saving faith, that moment of salvation when we are excited for the things of the Lord, we're excited about what God did in our lives, and then sometimes that can peter out. And we're stagnant Christians. If no one in your church can comment on any area of growth or fruit that they've seen produced in your life recently, there might be a lack, there might be a comfortable Christianity there. To believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is also to believe in its power to change and to transform the lives of those that it reaches. The Christian life should be identified by growth, by fruit, conforming more and more into His image. We see in Luke 8, 5 through 8, we see the parable of the sower of the seeds. And what happens when that seed is dropped in the good ground? When it takes root, it grows, it springs forth life, and then it gives seed from itself. But it grows. There's evidence of that. And this parable of the sower of the seeds. And then in Galatians 5:22, we see the fruits of the Spirit. Are the fruits of the Spirit evident in your life? Now, I know when I go through the fruits of the Spirit, I'm ashamed a lot of times at the areas, the fruits that aren't evident a lot of times in my life. And how do you reflect the fruits of the Spirit? By being Spirit-filled, by asking God to fill you with His Holy Spirit and to reflect those fruits of the Spirit in your life. And apart from the Spirit's empowerment, you're going to fail in those aspects. But the fruit of the Spirit should be seen in your life. And then John 15, 4 through 5, if you would turn there. John 15, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." If you're a Christian who has progressed so little in your faith that no one in your church could identify areas of growth or fruit in your life, your Christianity is too comfortable. You aren't growing. And you aren't singing this song, "Higher Ground," from your hearts. That's not the prayer of your heart. Is there growth? Is there fruit produced from your life? Are you actively pursuing after God? If you are, there will be fruit. There will be growth. Why is it so vital that we avoid the pitfalls of comfortable Christianity? Because it's a far cry from the self-sacrificing, inconvenient, cross-shadowed path for Christians. Comfortable Christianity has minimal urgency in missions, and little inclination for growth. Comfortable Christians are basically glad that they are saved and going to heaven, but have very little concern for the salvation of others. And that's a wrong view of Christianity. That's not how Christ intended for you to be serving Him when you became a disciple of Christ. Uncomfortable Christianity, on the contrary, leads to the transformation and the growth from response to the convictions of the Holy Spirit. It leads us to rely upon God and on His provision and not on ourselves. For without Him, we can do nothing. To serve rather than to be served. To live a life that is marked with, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives within me." It leads us to do the hard things, to embrace the difficult truths of God's Word, to live life with relentlessly difficult people for the sake and the glory of the One who did the hardest thing for us when He went all the way to prove His love for us while we were yet sinners. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet in our transgressions, while we were yet disinterested in God and disinterested in the things of the Lord, while we were yet sinners, dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us." That's how He demonstrated His love for us. And He was willing to go through the shame and the suffering and the agony of dying on the cross because He loved me while I was yet a sinner. He loved me that much. And yet sometimes we find it hard to get along with difficult people. We find it hard to get along with people that we don't agree with, that give us a hard time, or that our standards don't match up to their standards, or our beliefs don't match up to their beliefs, and our political affiliation doesn't match up to their political affiliation. And we stray so far from the same love that God showed towards us when He loved us while we were yet a sinner. It may be uncomfortable to be a true follower of Christ, but as we sang, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18 puts it this way: "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." What are you living for today? Are you living for yourself? Are you living for the things that are temporal? Is that what you're investing your life in? Is that what you're investing your time in? Is that what you're investing your life into? Or are you investing your life, your faith, your trust, your energy, your money into the things that are eternal, the things that are everlasting? Those are the things that Christ desires that we put our lives in, our efforts, our pursuits, our passions into. Like I said earlier, I have in no way mastered this. A lot of times the things I preach on are things that God has convicted me in my own life about. And I don't spread the gospel as much as I ought to. I don't pass out tracts as many opportunities as I've had. I've left restaurants and think, I should have had a tract. I should have left a tract there. I've ran into people that I thought, I should have had a tract on hand. Why didn't I have a tract on me that I could have given to them? Why couldn't I have shared the gospel with them? God will present an opportunity to me, and I let it pass by. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. I should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I should be bold in my witness for Christ. And so should you as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ. My fellow Christian, it's not getting any easier. In the world that we're living in, we are seeing it getting progressively worse, progressively harder to live in as a Christian. And we need to be prepared. Are you going to conform to the world, to its standards, to how it wants to mold Christianity? Or are you not going to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? What is the desire of your heart tonight? Are there areas in your life that you're too comfortable in your Christianity, that you need to deny yourself, to take up your cross and to follow after Him? It's not too late. And I hope that tonight that the truths of this message, the truths from God's Word, will challenge your heart in such a way that you don't leave from here forgetting this message. But you leave from here thinking about it on Monday, thinking about it on Tuesday, thinking about it on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and next Sunday. And that it moves from your heart, from your mind to your heart, and from your heart to actions, and putting the truths of God's Word into action. And when we do that, when we allow God to transform our hearts, to transform the way in which we live according to His Word, when we look in the mirror of His Word and we see that dirt in our lives, and we choose to do something about it and not just walk away forgetting what we saw, that's when God can do something through your life. That's when we'll see fruit produced in our lives and growth. Are you willing to be conformed to His image, or will you be conformed to this world? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. And I know it's a simple truths from your word. It may be something that we already know. But God, I ask that if there be any here tonight that have areas in their Christianity, areas in their spiritual lives where they have slipped into a comfortable Christianity, I ask God that you convict our hearts and our lives of that, and that you would move us to not just be stirred, but to do something about it. To not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. Work in our hearts and in our lives now, God. And I ask that you would transform us into your image. Not to let us be conformed to this world. Not let us be lax in our Christianity, but in hot pursuit after you, dear God. And bold in our proclamation of the gospel, standing with Paul as he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. May that be our prayer tonight, God, that we would press towards higher ground. We love you, God, and thank you for the work that you will do in our hearts and in our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We haven't arrived yet, so thank you for that challenge, and appreciate that ministry tonight, Samuel. Let's take our hymn books and sing 261, Trust and Obey. 261, let's stand as we sing. As the last. Joining us tonight. May the Lord bless you, and we're dismissed.